The following podcast contains strong language and ridiculous cartoon scenarios conjured up by two self-proclaimed comedy wizards. Between you and me, they're more like Saturday morning court jesters fueled by sugary cereal. But either way, the opinions expressed and presented are mere musings, so please humor their well-intentioned hijinks with a laugh and not by taking anything they say seriously. Unless, of course, you want to pay them to say something else. Could always use a new pair of shoes.
And welcome to ReviewParty.com. I'm Brent.
I'm Matt.
This is a podcast. It's on the internet. It's got comedy in it. Hopefully you knew that much already, And hopefully you knew this too. But just in case you didn't, we look at reviews on the internet. Those are funny sometimes, right, guys? Right, everybody?
Yes. Yes.
Right,
yeah,
Matt?
Yeah, come on. Right? Yes. Yeah. Not. Yes.
Not everybody. Are you nodding? Are you looking like a weirdo on the bus right now, nodding along, saying yes, 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 yes? you know, that like Three Wolf Moon, you know, those dirty gummy bears that everyone talks about. We try, you know, we're digging through. We're trying to find the viral reviews that just didn't spark, right? They didn't get that magic spark. We're bringing them to you. We're sort of the comments underneath the Instagram meme page that screenshotted the review for you. The internet isn't supplying enough review-based comedy, so us two men of the future, we decided we will. Matt, I've been talking. Do you want to talk about a review you have?
Yeah. I got an Amazon review for a product called Pet Stages Tower of Tracks Interactive 3-Tier Cat Toy. Maybe you've seen a similar apparatus. Like, it's a little circle thing where the ball is trapped inside, so the cat kind of hit it and it goes around. This is like a triple-decker one of them.
Triple-decker contained ball situation.
Yeah, two balls on each deck.
Okay.
With this one.
How many cups?
Three?
Three? Two balls, three cups.
This is a review from Beans and Things. I'm suddenly remembering where I got this review. It's just not important. Beans and Things titles the review okay and writes, "This tower has three levels with one ball per level." Then the picture's a lie. I'm sorry. It's very short to be called a tower. My adult cat towers over it and he can't even see the ball on the bottom level, so he never plays with it. The ball on level two has a catch, so it will roll one circuit around, and I hear a scratching sound, and it gets stuck and stops. The ball on the top level is a big hit. Both of my cats enjoy knocking it around and the circuit over and over and over. So they play with one out of three balls. Product score of three, smiley face, three stars.
So this man's mad he's not getting the full ball value.
Not getting the ball value, not getting the accurate tower value.
Not getting an accurate tower assessment, not getting the FBV. Things are going bad with this Amazon product.
That's not, yeah. 75% five stars on it, but Beans and Things has big cats.
There's a certain amount my cat could like the top ball exclusively for me to get a five star out of me.
Right. Right, I'm remembering I think Chris, our dear friend Chris, sent us the review of the cat bed, where the cat isn't even in the bed, it's just like underneath the thing, and you just see fat cat paws sticking out. It's like, this is not being used as intended, but my cat seems to be happy.
But hey, the unintentional use is fantastic, it's a five-star experience.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know about that. I'm trying to think of a product that I have that I don't use the whole thing, but I love that thing.
I'm
looking around my room. I'm thinking about my life and how I live it.
I mean, if I'm going to be pragmatic, I would say like my phone, my computer.
Sure. That can do a lot of shit.
A Microsoft Excel. They can do so much, but I don't
touch. You could probably figure out how to cure cancer on that thing. But
probably. Am I going to? No, I get five stars just by having it sum up some numbers for me.
Yeah, I got, honestly, I boot up YouTube, type in funny haha, a five-star experience right there.
Yeah.
That's just the tip of the iceberg.
That's just the top tier. This is a bit of a stretch of the imagination here, but maybe the cat has taste and is like, top tier only for me. Thank you. I'm not playing with that bottom tier ball.
If I ever go get my favorite sandwich in the world, hypothetically, there is no, you know, I wish I had a sandwich that I thought about in this way somewhere. Favorite sandwich in the world, which usually comes with tomatoes, and I usually ask for no tomatoes, but I forgot. I lapsed in judgment, and there was tomatoes on it, and I had to pick off the tomatoes, and I left those tomatoes uneaten. Uh-huh. I'm willing to bet I would still have a 5-star sandwich experience.
Ooh, all right.
You know what I mean? So I think knocking off a star for this, reasonable. Knocking off a star for each ball, come on, man. Sounds like your cats can't stop, won't stop knocking that thing around the track. And if it's really that bad, I'm willing to bet you could send it back and pay the difference for a bigger one and or get one with a second ball, no catch situation.
Yeah, you can get replacement balls here, it says, right on the same page. Or just get the single level one, because it sounds like that's all your cat really needs.
That's true. Send it back. Get a little Amazon gift card along with the one that is actually suitable for your needs. Sounds like this user is having a bad user experience and is reveling in it, reveling in ketchuping.
Kind of like you overcommitted. This three-piece suit, I'm only using two pieces of this three-piece suit. Because I don't want to be overdressed at the wedding. You shouldn't have bought the three-piece suit.
Right. Yeah, this guy went to Wendy's, bought 17 cheeseburgers, and ate two of them. He gave him a bad review because he has 15 extra cheeseburgers.
This is so much extra food.
You could give those to your cats, man. Quit complaining. Actually, don't give 15 cheeseburgers to two cats.
That would be great. I just want to see a cat go to town on a square burger.
I think that notion, that very human, like, craving you're having to see a cat go to town on 15 cheeseburgers is the sinful thought that led to the Garfield comic, isn't it?
Probably.
What if I drew a cat going to town on lasagna? Next thing you know, a multi-million dollar capitalist monster is destroying us. Shout out to Amazon. I got a review from there.
Let's hear it.
Actually, I got two reviews for this product. This first one isn't funny in and of itself. The phenomenon is such that we need to put our hypothesis together on what's going on
okay.
here.
Okay.
This is an Amazon review for the Callaway Golf 2021 Super Soft Golf Balls 1 Dozen. Basic Product Review titles their review, Unleash Your Golfing Potential with Callaway Golf Balls.
Okay.
They write, as an avid golfer, I've had the pleasure of using Callaway Golf Balls, and they have truly enhanced my game. These golf balls are a testament to the quality craftsmanship and advanced technology delivering exceptional performance on the greens. Callaway golf balls excel in providing an optimal combination of distance, control, and feel. The advanced core design and aerodynamic dimple pattern contribute to impressive distance off the tee, allowing for longer drives and optimal ball flight. I've noticed a noticeable boost in my overall driving distance and accuracy. Furthermore, these golf balls offer excellent control and spin around the greens. Whether I'm hitting approach shots or attempting delicate short game shots, I can rely on the consistency and responsiveness of Callaway golf balls. They provide necessary feedback and touch to execute shots with precision, giving me confidence in my game. The durability of Callaway golf balls is also commendable, as they withstand the rigors of play without easily scuffing or showing signs of wear. Overall, Callaway golf balls are a solid investment for golfers seeking improved distance, control, and durability. They have undoubtedly become my go-to choice on the course, enhancing my performance and enjoyment of the game. 5 stars.
Wow, that read like an ad.
Yes. What do you think Basic Product Review is up to here?
Basic Product Review is probably being paid to write reviews and scrubbing the product details.
See, my gut react was not that they were being paid, was that they were seeking payment.
They're seeking it.
They were building a sort of review portfolio.
See my work here, famously, Callaway Golf Balls.
I think this guy woke up in the morning and said, it'd be nice to get some free stuff from Callaway Golf Balls.
I'm over these titleists.
Had enough of this titleous here. I want to go the true way, the Callaway. Write that down.
Yeah, I don't know what else really compels someone to write something so effusive without, I guess it boosted my drives, but there's so little actual personal detail in that.
Right.
If you're that passionate about it, you got to be like talking about which specific hole you really like, you almost aced it or something. You almost had got an eagle or a birdie or something.
There's a total lack of user in this user review. There's no human element, which is really, I think, why I go to reviews, both funny and not funny.
Yeah, that is what I'm looking for.
I want to know what experience a regular person like me had with this product. And this sounds like what some marketing agent. Do you think AI is involved? That's the other big question I had.
Maybe. I have seen some sketch things going on the Google reviews for sure. Mm. Like I'll come across them every now and then where it just reads really strangely. And then I'll see either I'll just click on that user and I'll see they have a bunch of reviews that are also like that. Mm-hmm. But whether I go to theirs or I keep looking at the business I'm looking at, I'll usually find a review that is oddly similar, only that makes sense. And you can see that review was just put through the thesaurus machine and copied and posted into this other account. It's like, what?
I've seen these AI motherfuckers complaining about the rigors of their like keyword algorithm input. Like, oh, God. I saw a Twitter joke making fun of them, which is how I saw this person. I saw the joke first, as I prefer to see cringe on Twitter. Let me see the joke about it first. Brace me for what the actual cringe. But the joke basically read like, oh, woe is me. I have to get up and sit on the computer and type words in it tomorrow to steal everyone's art. Oh, no. But yeah, he was like, no one knows how difficult it is to get the exact right keyword algorithm going to get the perfectly art. So yeah, I really thought there was more going on than finding a single review for a product and putting it, copy-pasting it into a thesaurus bot.
I'll have to bring some because it's uncanny how weird they are. Like, I can kind of make sense of this, but, and then you see the original one, you're like, oh, that, yep. Yeah, they're just using synonyms don't work.
You know, I thought they would sit down and go through many product reviews for different or similar products, that they would, you know, be putting different specs and write-ups into it and editing it. But no, these motherfuckers are basically copy and pasting it into what amounts to Google Translate.
Yeah.
But from English to English.
It's a crock.
And then, and for what? Oh my God, dude. All right. I'm thoroughly triggered by this product, by this topic that I brought up myself. Do you have a review?
I do. Google.
Sorry. I have a – because that review was so –
You got multiple. That's right.
That's right. Because that review was so sterile.
Yeah.
So.
Get your iodine flavored lips away from me.
So focus grouped. That was the word I was looking for. that I had to go just cherry pick a nasty review for this product.
Oh boy.
I don't know if we'll have much to say about it, but it's kind of funny. This one's from Ryan Mack. He titles it, "Photos Don't Match the Product." He writes, "The, quote, red balls are a lot closer to pink than red. The photos show a very deep, almost blood red. But now seeing them, it's a very, very bright slash vibrant period. Bought is a joke for someone who thought the color would be awful to play with. But it's not even the color that is illustrated. 2 stars.
Well, darn. Maybe you need to adjust your monitor settings.
He's mad. As an amateur high school golfer myself, I believe when he says that the color would be awful to play with, that means it would be very hard to spot on a patch of grass.
Yes. Because it's dark.
Right. It's a dark red in a sea of grass. Might just look like a wood chip or something to your eye.
Piece of dung.
Piece of dungaroo. You know, golf courses are full of shit and turds all the time. You wouldn't be able to find that thing.
Specifically, blood red.
Blood red, sort of mahogany deuces dropped throughout the course. But they're pink, which is, of course, a fantastically...
Oh, yeah.
Color for the human eye to grab onto. So he's mad that he couldn't get these balls to essentially throw away. That he got usable, high-quality Callaway golf balls instead.
Yeah, yeah. I can't play a practical joke on my friend and just waste and litter and...
I have to give a kind, thoughtful joke to my friend. What is this? I'm a golfing guy. I like to drink beers and drive electric carts. Ugh. You know, manly stuff. Not pink golf balls. This is supposed to be a joke. He got pranked. He feels like he got pranked, I think. Okay, that's enough about the balls.
I have a Google review. I've got two. I don't know if I'm going to read both. A Google review for the Little Chapel of Hearts in Las Vegas, Nevada. It's a wedding chapel.
Yeah, I was going to say, people get shotgunned here.
Yeah, yeah. Arena Simmons has this to say. One of the worst experiences ever and a colossal waste of time. We just wanted to renew our vows and listen to the Elvis impersonators sing. Instead, we were roped into a comedy of sorts and asked to sing and dance and join in on the entertainment. The photographer was equally horrible and refused to provide the service we wanted. If you're up for turning your ceremony into a joke, this is the place for you. 1 star. There is a response from owner. Sorry to hear you had a horrible time. Since you did have an Elvis ceremony, I'm not quite sure what you expected. As we've never had someone complain about an Elvis trying to make a ceremony fun and having a couple dance together. If you didn't want to join in on the entertainment, you very well could have refused and just stood at the altar. I'm also unsure as to what exactly the problem is with your photos, as again, no one has ever complained about the photographer's ceremony. Sounded like you guys had a fun time from the surveillance footage. Had there been an issue that was brought to our attention the day of your ceremony, we would have been able to fix it.
Sounds reasonable.
I don't know if there's much to talk about other than if you want your ceremony to be a joke, this is the place for it.
No, yeah,
I'm not
kidding.
You are having Elvis. It's called Little Chapel of Hearts. Yeah. You're having Elvis there. Of course it's going to be a joke.
If you want a very serious, touching, heartfelt, you know, it's just not the place to go, dude. They went to McDonald's and were mad they didn't get the medium rare burger. You know what I mean? You can't ask for medium rare here. What? Yeah. I'm on one hand, I'm sad they were uncomfortable, but on the other hand, yeah, you went into a place of Vegas for shotgun weddings and asked for an Elvis and Bernie to give you a wedding. I imagine things might get a little goofy during the vows.
What do you think? Elvis is just going to stand in it like a little cage and sing for you and you just get to sort of watch?
He's got a little bolstering on his back. You pull it once, he does the vows thing. You pull it twice, he does the little song.
That's what we want there. Yeah. We don't want this interaction, no.
Yeah, if you got a real specific vision for your Elvis vow renewal, you got to sort of arrange that whole thing yourself, right?
Yeah, I'm sure there's 100 different places that you could do this at, too.
I'm sure there is literally 1,000 Elvis impersonators that are licensed to marry people in Las Vegas. There's no doubt in my mind. That would do it for a very, very cheap, and they'll do it exactly how you want it, as long as they get a fucking hoagie sandwich afterwards.
Yeah, I just can't imagine being so much a stick in the mud. Like, if you have gone up, like, you want Elvis there, you're decidedly pro Elvis.
For sure.
And when Elvis saunters up, his shimmy leg, his shoulders are going. He's got the jumpsuit on. He's looking glistening and sweaty and dazzling under the lights. And he's, hey, Las Vegas, blah, 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 whatever. Wise men say. And you're like, we're fans of listening to the music, Mr. Presley, not.
We don't want to be a part of the experience. We just want to watch it from afar, you jerk.
I'm not that big of a fan, for Pete's sake. Sing with you? No. Hound dog? No.
That underhanded surveillance footage comment. It sounds like... So I don't think that's... It does sound very creepy, but I don't think it's too weird for a place to get a weird review and be like, hey, Bob, was that like... 2 o'clock on Tuesday that couple came in with for right. Stevie, and to look at the footage and be like, oh, something weird going on here? And it sounds like when he did that, he saw a happy laughing couple with his Elvis homie.
Yeah, the other review that I don't think it's as funny, but that one does have a response as well. And it mentions the bride and groom both had a wonderful time, and their opinion is the only one that matters. I'd be happy to provide the video of proof of the bride singing our praises. So maybe that's a package, too, that we don't just have pictures taken. We record you do a little wedding video deal.
Oh, sure.
Like you might do. And I'm sure they also have surveillance, just because it's Las Vegas. There's a lot of fluff floating around.
You don't want some weirdo stabbing your Elvis impersonator. You've been with that guy for 15 years.
Can't dry clean that suit. You kidding me?
You got 3 more weddings lined up with that guy, this afternoon. He can't be getting stabbed.
Right. It's not like you can pull another Elvis off the street or anything.
No, not like Chet. Chet is, oof.
Chet sweats the best, man.
Well, Chet doesn't do an Elvis impersonation, all right? He's in on that real, real fucking, what do you call it? What's that acting 101 shit? That Sanzlowski method acting, bro. He is in Elvis, dude. Every single night, he eats a sandwich on the toilet and dies. And he wakes up in a hot tub. And, it's just because he's living the lifestyle.
He doesn't know how he got there. He's not going to ask.
Doesn't need to.
That's just Las Vegas.
The spirit of Elvis lifted him off the toilet and sort of a ground. He lives sort of an Elvis Groundhog Day lifestyle, is my take on it. Ah, Chet. You must do Elvis's good work tomorrow to the hot tub for rejuvenation. And sphincter cleaning.
Yeah, you got to keep yourself clean.
Right.
In that town.
Yeah, you're Elvis. You're getting all kinds of different stinks. The peanut butter sweat and the bacon sweat are 2 different sweats, and you're consuming a lot of both. If you're doing Elvis right.
When you roll into that finale of Suspicious Minds, that when, the song already faded out, but then you fade back up. People are like, no, the song's not over yet? All right, we got another minute and a half of this? All right.
That's why they call him the king! And that's when the audience goes crazy.
And then you got to do the Elvis has left the building. You gotta dip out of there. Yeah. You build up a bit of a sweat, a bit of a funk.
You might even say a grease, sort of a, I think there's layers to it.
You're slick.
You know when you leave soup in the fridge and it gets that grease layer on top that you take off and throw away?
Yeah, yeah.
You sort of live in that when you're Elvis.
Oh,
you hear that little motorcycle. Yeah. The spirit of Elvis is with us.
Drove by.
Let's take a break before Elvis comes and kills me.
Hey, everybody. Thank you for listening to our lovely little podcast. If you'd like to go above and beyond in supporting our show, or have the most fabulous conversation starter since sliced bread, go to reviewparty.com. Click on shop and explore some fabulous t-shirt designs.
Where's your favorite place to wear a t-shirt?
On my body.
Mine is at the store.
That is a good place to wear a t-shirt. Reviewparty.com. Click shop.
Why stop there?
Don't stop now.
Don't stop me now, because I'm buying a t-shirt. I'm buying a shirt.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the second half of the episode, and welcome to Reviewer Redux. Oh, what? Already? What do you want from me? It's not like we have an agenda on that. We don't have a producer or a programmer telling us what to do.
Thank God, dude. I would quit.
God.
I would. We get the moment we get a goddamn producer telling me what to do.
Boys, you gotta tighten it up there, boys. You gotta clean it up a bit, boys.
Oh, man. The review party would be dead.
The metrics. The numbers, boys.
You ever get some chipper, slightly chipper, slightly fatter, slightly funnier version of me across from Matt on this podcast out of the blue one day? I quit. Matt sold out. We got a producer. He talks like that. That's the story. Boys. You heard it here.
My boys.
Dog, we don't like it when you call us that.
Boys. Hey, come on.
He's one of those guys who has the shirt unbuttoned, like, to his belly button.
And we can say no until he calls us his boys.
My boys.
Now you're my boy. Now you're my boys. I don't want anybody else my boys.
Really? Well, Dog isn't here. He doesn't exist. So it's Reviewer Redux, the segment where we go back and revisit some reviewers that we liked from the past. Because they tickle us in some way, shape, or form. And we wanted to see what else they had to say about other things that they bought or did.
Feel that we wanted to, you know, run the whole gamut of tickling. We wanted to see how their different review tickles felt.
Tickle top to bottom, please.
Please!
So today we are revisiting Alex Falcone, Amazon reviewer /comedian out of Portland, Oregon. He's the one who reviewed that New Year's Eve movie and made reference to it being how a deadly spore infected 42 New Yorkers, making them care more than normal about New Year's Eve.
Right. One we thought was actually legitimately very funny.
Yeah. His Amazon page says he's a comedian and writer from Portland, Oregon, author of the young adult romance novel Unwrap My Heart, about a teenage girl who falls in love with a mummy. So hopefully one day we have something like that written about us that we've written ourselves.
A fellow after our own heart, it seems like very much.
So I've got a beastly review that Alex has written for a book called Wizard's First Rule, Sword of Truth Book 1 of like 11, I believe. Alex titles his review, "Holy crap, oh my god, what the hell did I just read?" And he writes, "Wizard's First Rule is the first of a million books in the Sword of Truth series. It follows Richard, a guy who takes a lot of hikes in the woods. He meets a girl running from assassins and isn't particularly surprised because his dad was recently murdered. He befriends this girl despite her obvious emotional baggage and her gigantic secret. The girl with a gigantic secret tells him that an evil man named Darken Rawl wants to take over everything and kill everybody. Because he's evil, that's why. In addition to having a confusing part of speech for a name, Darken is a horrible baddie who likes to cut people up and play in their gore. What? That's not obviously evil enough for you? His best friend is a pedophile. There you go. Simplicity. As luck would have it, Richard's good friends with a closeted wizard who the girl with the gigantic secret was looking for. The wizard comes out of the closet and uses his... And I know this from reading farther in the review. It's not a gay wizard. It's just a wizard who's hiding that they're a wizard.
Right. The wizard is the closeted.
Yeah, right.
Okay. He's openly gay.
I no comment. The wizard comes out of the closet and uses his power to promote Richard from hiker to savior of the whole world. Whew. Now we can get started with the walking. Like many epic fantasies, this book is mostly about people taking long walks. The savior and the girl with the gigantic secret, who are totally in love but can't do anything about it because of her gigantic secret, walk for what feels like a million years, stopping occasionally to stab ghosts or get a fresh supply of exposition from a new race of people. They become mud people, in the political sense that they become citizens of Mudlandia, and also in that they get covered in mud, just to ask some dead mud people for directions. The dead mud people can't give directions because it's against the rules. Being dead apparently involves a lot of bureaucracy. Oh, but what's up with Darken Rawl this whole time? Good question. He drugs a child, convinces him that his parents don't love him, then, once the child accepts this new reality, feeds him molten lead. God. Which brings me to my biggest problem. In order to take over everything and kill everybody, Darken is looking for the third box of something or other. You see, he has two of the boxes of something or other, but he put them into play before he got the third one, which is just unheard of. He also doesn't have the instruction manual for the boxes of something or other because Richard memorized it and ate it when he was young. Yes, it's confusing, but more importantly, we're told that there are three boxes, and if you collect them all and open them in the right way, you have ultimate power over life and death. If you do it wrong, everything in the world dies instantly. Why would somebody make these boxes? What wizards or box makers thought it would be fun to create three magical jewelry boxes that might accidentally blow up the whole world? I can't stress enough how bad an idea this is. Whoever did this is the stupidest. The third box is sitting inside the walk-in closet of the shitty queen and her shitty daughter. A wizard, not the closeted one, an openly wizardy wizard, steals the box, hides it in a loaf of bread, and sends an orphan girl into the woods to protect it. As luck would have it, that girl runs into our hero when they both choose the same tree to camp in. They become friends, and she gives the box to him. This is one of many outstanding coincidences in the book. For a world governed by magic, there sure is a lot of dumb luck floating around. Guess what the gigantic secret is? No, really, guess. I guess I'll pause. Do you have a guess of what the girl's gigantic secret is?
She's Draken's daughter or something. She's the other chosen one.
My guess was that she was the one who killed his dad, but... you'll never get it. Turns out the girl with the gigantic secret has the power to make anybody fall in love with her so completely they would kill themselves to please her. Creepy. Lots of Wizard's First Rule feels like off-the-shelf fantasy. The former savior of the whole world, who used to possess the magic sword, seems an awful lot like Gollum. He is withered, barely human, and keeps saying that the magic sword is mine, mine, gimme. The shitty queen is also so close to the Queen of Hearts, I can only assume her white roses are painted red. It reads the way a rap song sounds, like a series of samples of better songs that came before. Back to the story. A cave painter put a spell on Richard that trapped him in an invisible box like a really whiny mime. Richard out-cave paints the painter and kills him. only to be captured by a wandering dominatrix-style CIA agent who tortures Richard for, like, several weeks. It feels as if it's in real time. The torture slash sex slash torture goes on for so long, and it's described with such relish it made me physically ill. It was like watching Human Centipede if that movie lasted 6 hours. I want to mail Terry Goodkind, the author, a bag of my throw-up. After many weeks of torture, Richard starts what I like to call, quote, the week of many coincidences. In order to wrap up this massive meandering book, a bunch of stuff that's super convenient needs to happen. Nobody could ever do this thing, unless you're the one who can do it. I just happen to have some of that healing salve in my backpack. In all of these woods, we happen to be in the same tree as this wandering girl. It'd be hard to believe if I didn't want so badly for everything to be over. In the end, everything works out perfectly for all our heroes, and nothing bad has come of the years of evil oppression. The only thing left is for Richard to walk home. Holy crap, there's so much walking in this book. 1 star.
I mean, there's not too much to say. Right and good and funny.
And detailed. Like, we do get that sometimes with those shifter books where it's not so much a review as it is them just telling us what happens.
Right, right. We get both. We get what happens and why we should laugh at it. So, brava.
Yeah, Alex is like, this is, I can only imagine what compels him to find books such as the ones he has reviewed. And then how far he has to go before he's pushed to unleash a review as long as this.
It always boggles my mind how, like, what producers are greenlighting that kind of stuff. I guess it's just proven to make money. You know, the formula of thing they're looking for isn't the same thing I look for in a book, right? Mm-hmm. There isn't the same boxes being checked. I'm sure they got some secret formula for what'll sell and what doesn't. But, well, like, just to say that, as a video game fan, it's crazy because, like, how many great, awesome game ideas are not greenlit because they're such a liability? When, meanwhile, right. In Book-O world, that shit is being put to print? Anyway, you got another little Spice Girl for me?
No, I was just going to say that there are used copies for $1.86.
Oh!
You want.
Yeah, so the reprint never happened,
and that's,
huh?
That's the hardcover.
Oh, wow. Is it old?
2008.
Oh, no.
Yeah, they're sitting on a lot of stock, apparently.
They're dropping dominatrix sex scenes.
I've got some quotes from the book. Popular highlights in the book. What are popular highlights? Kindle readers can highlight text to save their favorite concept, topics, passages, blah, blah, blah.
The perverts that read these books, they see the stuff that they highlight the most to save for later.
I've got three quotes. I'll go in ascending order. This was highlighted by 99 Kindle readers. Quote, there have always been wars, Richard. Every war is a murderous struggle between foes. And yet, no army has ever marched into battle thinking that the Creator had sided with their enemy. It's like, okay. There's some slight poignancy to that. Highlighted about 104 Kindle readers. All this time, I thought we were fighting evil. Evil on the loose. Run amok. But that's not it at all. What we're up against is more like a plague. A plague of fools.
Whoa. That sounds like someone plagiarized the Shakespeare quote really badly.
Yeah.
Really badly.
And finally, highlighted by a whopping 200 Kindle readers. Think of how easy it is to believe. For people who don't question, who don't even know how to question. For most people, it's not the truth that is important. It's the cause. That's what I'm talking about, brother. I'm all about the cause, not the truth.
Sure. That kind of melted my brain. Honestly.
Good, good. That's Rear Redux. Yeah, this sounds like absolute dreck.
Just like... When you write something and the purpose of what you wrote was to be deep, not just you just didn't write something and it was deep because it, you know, stuff came out of you and you're deep because you're a person. No, I don't know. Let's not beat a dead horse. Thanks for the good review.
Yeah, yeah. Thanks, Alex.
Thanks, Alex. From one stupid review to another. Do you want a review for an item or a piece of media?
Ooh. Give me the media.
Let's go media. Well, then that will take us to IMDb for this review of the classic show, The X-Files.
Dude. Terrifying young Matt.
Terrifying young Matt. You know that show started in 1993. It's as old as us.
Dang.
I knew it was like a 90s show, but I was thinking like 96, 97, not that bitch old.
It's perfectly young.
That's true. It's timeless. But don't take it from me. Take it from Arcan. They titled their review, "One of the Best Shows on Television." They write, "According to my friends, I am not a true X-File. Don't ask why." Oh, well. This was written in 1999, by the way.
Dude.
X-Files ranks as one of the most intelligent and brilliant shows on television. It is a cinematic show using techniques that are more associated with movies than the TV show, like a long unedited sequence in The Triangle. Admittedly, it was once a better show than it is now, but most episodes are minor masterpieces. But when it peaks like Redux, Triangle, and One Sun, it peaks like no other show has peaked before. It is completely unclassifiable. It is a mystery, a sci-fi, and sometimes self-parody. And the show has several markedly sexual overtones. Cigarette-smoking man, in parentheses. The sexual tension is what probably has attracted the most people. The byplay between Mulder and Scully is cool and reserved, yet you wonder exactly what they're really thinking. It pays homage to old shows, like in Duels of the Sun and Rope. This show doesn't always give you what you want. Though it has gotten more Hollywoodish, it's a testament to the creators and writers that they haven't put Scully and Mulder together. Will they or won't they? Probably. It is Hollywood, after all. This show is a thinking person's show. Sometimes it does get slow, but it always remains interesting. Oh, no stars. But pre-star review. Pre-star review.
Hey, that's all right. Sounds like they like it, though.
Sounds like it's a 8+.
I mean, I have to agree. Not that I've... I guess I wouldn't call myself an X-File either, but what I've seen, even being terrified as a child, that's a testament to it being good if it was able to scare me.
Oh, yeah, I don't know if I was scared of X-Files when I was a kid, because whenever that theme song came on, I turned that shit off right away.
Yeah, I just remember the image of things moving beneath a lawn. Like almost like Bugs Bunny, you know, you can see the little
dig
patch, but just like a carpet of grass, and you see that bump moving, like no,
and it ain't some Caddyshack gopher flying around there.
No,
it ain't Bill Murray having a cartoon tizzy. Those motherfucking aliens, dude, like things that'll reach up and grab you. I just remember, like, flashlights through foggy trees in that theme song. You know what I mean?
Yes. Yeah. Some dark tree stump
thing. With the scariest song ever. Yeah, I wouldn't even begin to watch that show when I was a kid. Now I wish I did. Now I was like, I bet that show was sick.
Yeah, probably was.
Yeah, I think I'm guessing every single show I've ever liked, this show's like the dad. This show's like the father of those shows. Stranger Things? I think Stranger Things would be happening without a file of X.
Probably not.
Probably
and
not.
Like Twin Peaks. I watched that a few years ago and I was like, wow.
I still gotta watch that, man.
Wow.
I meant to, but I had trouble finding a good place to settle on
it. Mm-hmm.
But I'll have to, I gotta crack it open soon.
But dang, I want to talk about using tech, Hollywood techniques in your TV shows. I do dig it when shows are like, we're going to break our regular construct a bit. It's not just going to be a fixed camera doing the same thing you see every week. Or the script is going to like change the entire dynamic of what you expect a TV show to be. There's a Mr. Robot episode. I don't know if you watched that show with little Rami Malek.
Mm-hmm.
There's an episode that has two lines of dialogue at the top and at the bottom of the episode. And it's just action in between that. I like that. That is so cool. It's just the underscoring and then running around in tense situations. And they don't need the dialogue. You can see what's happening. It's so powerful.
Yeah, right. TV's so formulaic. I think that's HBO's thing, right? They don't make TV. They make movies that are cut into pieces.
Right.
But yeah, when a show... Those are always the most memorable episodes of shows, when they pick it like a game. They pick something they're going to do different and they're going to go for it.
Yes.
You know, like Steam Hams and The Simpsons. There ain't and no other jokes like Steam Hams that ever happened on TV ever.
And that's why it endures.
That's why people love it. Or the like musical episodes. I think that's the easy example, right?
It is easy because a lot of people try it,
but they're always more
successful
good
than others.
The Hey Arnold opera episode, kids remember that shit. I'll tell you what. Kill the rabbit. Absolutely. Or the didn't they do that whole Breaking Bad episode from the fly's perspective or whatever?
I didn't watch Breaking Bad.
It looks like you're off the podcast.
I don't know.
Matt, too, it's your time to shine.
Hey, my voice is slightly deeper and I smoke cigarettes.
Oh, Matt, too, smokes cigarettes? Oh, whoa, this show's cool now.
Hey, guess what I have on my head?
Is it a bucket hat, Matt, too?
Dude, how did you even know?
Well, looks like Review Party's finally going to find some success.
Here's a sponsor.
The bucket hat comes with a sponsor underneath. That's why they're all wearing them.
It's for shaveyournuts.com.
Hey, man, if shaveyournuts.com wanted to sponsor us, I would shave my nuts and talk about it on the podcast. That's what I would do.
Anything once. I won't say no.
Hey, maybe if it's good enough experience, you can make that once into a twice.
Well, golly, don't I have a segue. I've got a review for, it's actually kind of startling. I had opened up this review, and now the product itself has been removed from Amazon.
Oh!
But it is some sort of Nair-adjacent product.
Sure, a hair removal cream.
Yeah. Yeah, really weird. But here's a review that Cameron Gares writes. It's one of those reviews where they must not have provided an actual title, so it was just taken from the review itself. So I will just dive right into the review. Cameron writes, "Just use a razor. Everyone was saying it gives baby smooth balls. Not the case for me. Tried it on a small area. Gave it 24 hours. Removed some hair and stung a little, but decided to go full application. Left it on for 5 minutes, half the max time, and holy mother of God, it looks like my balls had just rolled out of Chernobyl.
I wonder why, bro!
Bloody and chemically burned, hurt like a mother for a good 24 hours. So you're asking, did it work? Was it effective? I'm going to need to take a breath here. And just everyone compose yourself, because guaranteed this is not the description you're expecting. Was it effective? In the same way Little Boy was effective in solving Nagasaki's overcrowding problem? Millions of hairs dead, scorched earth, and those alive horribly disfigured. When you apply it, directions say not to rub it in, so you just have to lay it on thick in the areas you want hair removal.
No, you don't, dude.
No, you can rub it in. It's fine, trust me. Not that I've used any in this area. On my chest I have, and I've rubbed it in. It's fun. You'll be tender maybe, but don't just have like your pea-sized toothpaste.
Don't go Joker origin story on your own balls, bro.
Because of this, the thick areas destroyed my skin and hair, but the other areas were patchy AF. The hairs left looks like what happens when you put your arm hair over an open flame. They were dead, but attached, and could be plucked out like rotten daisies. 2 out of 10, never again. 1 star.
This guy's mad. This guy's like, yeah, I bought a lighter to smoke cigarettes, but I lit my balls on fire, so it's not a good product.
Yeah.
You don't do that, bro. You don't eat an entire pound cake and then leave a bad review of their pound cake because you got to get your stomach pumped. Shaking my head.
You just got to be careful. You just... Like if you're going, I no one realizes this, but I turned my head away from my screen and I'm looking directly at the microphone as if I'm now directly appealing to every male listener out there. If the smoothness is what you're going for, I'm sure you can do like a shave first. So then you don't have to worry about putting on a thick old coat of the glob. And worry about it incinerating your skin.
This guy had to eat through like a 4-inch thick pube fro.
No, man. Trim down, then do what you gotta do.
Sure.
It's just common sense, I thought. Common sense ain't so common, I guess.
I don't know. Any sort of thing going on down there, I'm very trepidatious. I'd be doing research. I'd be doing, you know, running. I'd be taking samples and running tests. It wouldn't be that easy. But, you know, it is that easy. Ending this review.
This episode of ReviewParty.com.
Thank you, listener, for listening. We appreciate you. We got new episodes every Tuesday. That's right. Hashtag Tuesday Reviews Day. And if you...
Yahoo!
If you'd like to send us in a couple Goombas or Koopas or reviews to make funny over, send us an email, reviewparty.com@gmail.com. Include your name, the review, hyperlink to it, screenshot to it. We'll make it happen. Just get it to us, baby.
There's another way you can get... it to us or just get it. To us in general. And that's by reaching out on the social medias that you may be familiar with these days. On Instagram and TikTok @ReviewParty.com, on Twitter @ReviewPartyPod. If you're trying to, you know, do like a social cleanse, that's pretty bold of you, brother. I respect your truth, whatever that means for you. Just go on ReviewParty.com, because that's where your chakras will come into alignment when you start seeing all that blue, when you start seeing all the review-based blogs and all the episodes and the shop and everything. Hey, maybe Johnny Five is there. I'm not saying he is, but maybe he is.
If you haven't found Johnny Five by now, where you been? Man, it is so fun. That was a one episode joke. People are going to find that shit and be like, why is Johnny Five here?
I know.
I couldn't even point to what episode we were joking or why. Oh, we do love that man, though. That our love for J5 is eternal. Do you got social media stuff to talk about, or is it my turn?
It's your turn.
It's my turn. Good. Because I want to talk about nosebleeds. Thank you, Nosebleeds, for letting us use your jam, Bread for Breakfast, throughout the episode. You can find more great tunes by the Nosebleeds, just one word, on Spotify. Search for them, Nosebleeds, one word. Don't make me get out the thesaurus AI to spell check you, because it won't go good. You'll leave a shitty review, which we don't like. But I have a good review, I guess, for... to finish us out here. It is from Amazon 4. PS5 stand and cooling station with dual controller charging station for PS5 console station. PS5's accessories include a controller, charger, cooling fan, headset holder, 3 USB hub, media slot, screw wire. Just one of those big plastic fans. Yep. popularized big, with the 360 lip. Because the 360 used to fucking bake its own insides that would run at such a high temperature. But apparently PS5 might need them too. Amazon customer titles their review Fan Noise. They write, it was working fine for me for the first few weeks and then started a bit of a noisy fan for the first few minutes. I wonder if it's going to last already. 4 stars.
Oh, boy.